More than 15 million people in the United States deal with social anxiety disorder. That is an extreme fear of social situations. A dinner party, a trip to the grocery store, hosting a radio show, or even doing a meeting at work can turn into a paralyzing experience.
As I'm driving to work, I can feel the anxiety building. My stomach starts to get sick, and I start to sweat. By the time I get into work, driving up that driveway, I'm pretty much a mess.
Georgia State psychology professor Paige Anderson has developed a new technology to help people with social anxiety. She uses virtual reality software to simulate real-life settings that cause patients' anxiety. The technology helps them learn to cope before they have to confront the same scenarios in the real world. Paige Anderson joins us now to talk about this. Good morning, Paige.
Good morning.
I'm in my mid-30s, and I think that my entire life people have been telling me that virtual reality is going to be the cure to X and the cure to Y. Any particular reason I shouldn't roll my eyes to this one, too?
Well, it's not necessarily virtual reality that cures social anxiety or probably anything. It's what the technology can do for you. Successful treatment for social anxiety and most anxiety disorders is the major success story for psychological science. It's based on a very simple principle that in order to overcome your fears, you have to face your fears. Now, that is much easier said than done.
I bet.
And most people don't seek treatment and sometimes can't tolerate that kind of treatment for their anxiety. So the idea of virtual reality is if you can take the first step in a virtual world, then you'll be able to do so in the real world.
But I suppose the reason a social situation would give anyone anxiety is that the other humans involved are real. What makes a virtual reality dinner party, for example, more real of an experience than just watching a movie about a dinner party?
It doesn't make it any more real of an experience, but it allows you to practice ways of thinking that will decrease your level of avoidance for the real situation or the real dinner party.
I want to play a clip from psychologist Jack Gorman of Columbia University. This is from the documentary Afraid of People. Let's take a listen to his description of social anxiety disorder.
People with social anxiety disorder become very overly sensitive about what other people are thinking about them. Interestingly, they'll often come in the office and say, I'm paranoid, but they're not paranoid at all. What it is they have tremendous interpersonal sensitivity. So every time they're around other people, they think that people are judging them because they think they're actually doing bad.
Paige, you touched on this earlier, but what is the conventional treatment for social anxiety disorder?
The conventional treatment for social anxiety disorder is cognitive behavioral therapy. It's a therapy of thinking, that's the cognitive part, and behavior, that's the doing part. Most people with anxiety avoid the thing that they're afraid of, and that's the key aspect for recovering from anxiety, is to create new experiences so that you can create the life you want versus avoiding experiences that make your life smaller.
Let's hear one more clip here from psychologist Jack Gorman of Columbia. Here he's going to mention a few scenarios that are often difficult for socially anxious people.
They'd be afraid to use public restrooms. They become afraid to eat in restaurants because they're afraid people may be watching them and they may spill their food or choke. We've seen people who are afraid to endorse a check in front of a teller because while the teller is watching, their hand starts to shake.
We're talking about a new treatment for social anxiety disorder involving virtual reality. Paige, could you maybe walk us through one of the treatments that you might do with someone using virtual reality technology?
Sure. Well, in order to do a successful exposure therapy or the behavioral therapy, you need to have the person face their fear in a way that is controlled, repeated, and prolonged. So you can't just face your fear and recover.
I think we should emphasize that because that's something that we see in popular culture a lot. People having a sudden immersion, you know, Indiana Jones falls into the pit of snakes and spends an hour with horrifying snakes and comes out of it completely cured of his snake fear. It doesn't work like that, right?
That's right. You have to face your fear in a therapeutic way. You need to take baby steps so that you get a sense of mastery control before you face a more fearful situation. You need to do it over and over again. So if you get up to give that class presentation, rush really fast, grit your teeth and bear it and sit down, oh, it's over. That's not really successful. successful exposure therapy. And then here's another key. You need to stay in the situation long enough for your anxiety to diminish so that you come away from the situation saying, I can handle that versus, whew, I just barely got through it and I don't think I'll get through it the next time.
Sure. But put the helmet on me, right? I mean, I'm someone who's suffered from some degree of social anxiety through his life. Put the helmet on me and walk me through a treatment that you might do with me.
Sure. Well, the treatment that we just published in a study in 2013 had people put on a helmet and they had three different virtual environments that they could practice facing their fears in. One was a virtual mm-hmm. classroom where you gave a presentation. We uploaded your presentation to a virtual podium, and the classroom could have different reactions to you. Sometimes they'd nod, sometimes they'd look confused, sometimes people were checking their phone. We also had a virtual conference table so that people could practice going around the table, introducing themselves, which is a high source of anxiety for people.
Yeah.
I have to say, I appreciate that you brought up that you've suffered with some sort of social anxiety. I think people wouldn't imagine that radio personalities would do that. One of the things about social anxiety is that it is mistreated, misdiagnosed, and most people don't know that effective treatment is out there. Up to 92% of people with social anxiety never receive treatment, and when they do, it's on average 10 to 15 years after they've started struggling.
Well, for me, I mean, this is a good example of my particular social anxiety, which is that one of the reasons I do what I do, one of the reasons I found a home in journalism was that the kind of conversation that you and I are having right now, Paige, I know what I'm supposed to do, right? I know what my role is. I know the parameters. Everything seems really, really structured and defined. Whereas if I'm just out there trying to socialize with someone in a bar or something like that, that is much more open-ended and is much more difficult for me. Therefore, this kind of talk is a lot easier for me. My guest is Georgia State Professor Paige Anderson. I'm not making it sound too easy right now. She's an expert in how virtual reality technology can help patients with social anxiety. I suppose being a guest on a live radio program isn't necessarily one of the scenarios you've programmed into the VR helmet yet, but maybe could be something you do at some point.
Sure. You know, and the story that you tell about yourself really highlights something about social anxiety, which is... Mm-hmm. Most people minimize social anxiety because most people can relate to feeling anxious, to being worried about what other people will think of them.
Right.
So it really becomes social anxiety disorder when it becomes extreme and it starts to affect your life. And there are two ways that social anxiety can affect your life. Two of the most important ways is relationships and opportunities. So obviously you're successful. You're here on the radio. So a little social anxiety hasn't affected the opportunities, at least career-wise, that you've afforded yourself. I can't say anything about the relationships.
Yeah.
And, you know, to tell another story about that, the person who's sponsoring the research that we're doing at Georgia State is a family foundation, the Kukas Foundation, that was developed after their son, Andy Kukas, died by suicide. In part because he was misdiagnosed, with social anxiety, couldn't find the right treatment, and then had a hard time engaging with the treatment when it was available. And this was a person who was full of accomplishment and even fuller of opportunity and potential. But because of his social anxiety disorder, that wasn't realized. So this family has developed a foundation to raise awareness about social anxiety disorder so that this doesn't happen to another family. So I have a lot of admiration for that, and it really connects with my goals for my research, which is to develop treatments that are effective, practical, accessible, and acceptable to the people who need them.
Yeah, that's got to be a powerful source of motivation.
Yes.
So you were describing earlier a treatment in which you put the helmet on somebody, they see an audience to whom they're supposed to give a presentation, and the audience appears bored. They're fiddling with their phones. Very, very nerve-wracking situation. So you have your patient practice in that virtual reality environment. What's the next step? What's the next baby step toward doing that with real people?
Well, to do it in the real world, and so people with social anxiety disorders often don't set goals for social interactions for themselves in the real world. They just say something sort of vague, like, I need to get through it without being anxious. So we teach people how to set concrete, specific goals, such as going up to their TA to ask, why did I get this poor grade on a paper? And if you can do that, you've successfully met your goal. You can't have your goal be not to experience anxiety. We all experience anxiety all the time. It's not dangerous, and it shouldn't let you keep you from doing what you need to do and want to do for your life.
Paige, what do you still want to learn about social anxiety? Where does your research go next?
You know, a lot of it is about dissemination and how to get more treatment out to more people. And stigma is a major issue in getting treatment for social anxiety disorder and really all sort of mental health disorders. And that's another aspect of the technology that is appealing to me. Whereas a lot of people still have stigma about going to see a therapist, everyone is used to using technology to make their lives better.
All right. Paige Anderson is an associate professor of psychology at Georgia State University. Professor Anderson, thank you so much. Best of luck with your research.
Thank you.